the sky. Imagine all.
And you are listening to John Lennon's famous Imagine. And why do we have you listening to that on this long gospel, May the 6th, in the year of our Lord 2015? I'm Pastor Tom Baker, but we have with us in the studio, I guess he doesn't realize today's not Thursday, Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Well, what else was going to happen? I mean, you know, I'm on my way out of town, and I thought, let's drive through St. Louis.
Well... Oh, I thought you were just coming to see me.
I heard you were going to take me out for a free lunch.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. White Castle is right across the street. Boy, oh boy. Pastor Reimnitz is on his way on a trip, and he was able to stop here in St. Louis, so he is live in the studio. And one of the things he suggested we could talk about is an article, by the way, that was in the Post-Dispatch of St. Louis, by a Methodist pastor about, do I have to go to church? And the reason we played Imagine by Lennon imagines a scenario which is quite idyllic. Few quarrels, no wars, and a lot of people, of course, think that's just a form of communism that he was pushing. But there is a time coming that will take place. But unfortunately, he says there's no hell and there's no heaven. So it's kind of confusing to know just where this place is in his mind. But in our mind, it would be in the afterlife. But what was your initial reaction when you read this article, do I have to go to church?
I think it missed the whole point. To me, it's a form of legalism. Do I have to go to church? Why do I got to go to church? You know, and I think that's a question that oftentimes Christian parents have with their kids, when they're smaller. And then, of course, when they get older, or when your board of elders of a church go out and try and talk to somebody who hasn't been in church for a while, why do you have to go to church? You know, I can find church anywhere. I had a best friend of mine that I grew up in high school and college with. His church was the outdoors. Yeah. So
he liked golfing.
He was a naturalist, mm-hmm. You know. He worked for the park system, and he would say, "My church is these trees and these wonderful flora and fauna that's out there, and my church is the animals that I see out there." And of course, I looked at him and I said, "Will Bambi tell you who God is and what God has done?"
Yeah. Recently, they had Green Day or whatever that's called, and a great article I read was that for a lot of people, their God is Mother Earth. That's why they're, what do they call it, global warming. Of course, now they're going to have to change that because things are getting colder, so now they call it climate change. climates never change. But when the view is made that global warming is more important than ISIS, you know, who are killing Christians, somebody has got the wrong God, it seems to me.
And therein lies, too, you know, when you were talking about John Lennon in this idyllic world that he was portraying, the scriptures came to mind, Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." We sometimes look at it as our intimate death just on the horizon, but wouldn't you say that we walk through death all around us every day?
Yes, the world is the world of death apart from the believers in Christ because it's the kingdom of Satan. And Satan, remember, Jesus even referred to walking human beings as the living dead.
The living dead, exactly.
And so, because they had no life in him. And that's why Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and
the life."
The life, and apart from him. Now, you can call us. We have Wes in the studio with us. So please, if you got a question for him that you'd like to ask, 821-0850. That's in the St. Louis area. But even in St. Louis or anywhere in North America, you can call this toll-free number. Write it on your forehead. Well, no, because then when you look in the mirror, you won't be able to read it. So write it on your refrigerator, 1-800-730-2727. You know, I always know that an ambulance is following me because on the front they have ambulance reversed.
Right.
But when you look in your mirror, it's fine. So don't write it on your forehead. You won't be able to read it. But 1-800-730-2727. Now, this individual, this Methodist pastor, here's why he didn't like worship. It had hard pews, strange sounding affirmations of faith, and boring sermons. So, believe it or not, I'm quoting in today's promo Charles Darwin. I'm going to be talking about it tomorrow. I don't probably agree with hardly anything he has to say, especially about evolution. But he did say one thing I think the church needs to keep in mind. And I know you do that in your sermons. He says, those who survive are not necessarily the strongest or the most wise, but those who are able to adapt to change. Now, we're going to talk about the difference between natural selection tomorrow of a creationist and an evolutionist. But in a sense, I think a lot of pastors are struggling with gay marriage. They're not really sure what to say, or more to the point, how to say it in a sermon. So they know that most of their members know somebody of that lifestyle. And on the one hand, they don't want to make a fool out of them. But on the other hand, they want to make clear God's word. It's hard to do that in a sermon.
Yes, it is. But, you know, I'm a circuit visitor up in my area. A circuit visitor is in charge, kind of helps with about 8 or 9 congregations.
Okay, so you're a pastor assigned by the leadership in that district to go around and check out these congregations. Especially if they have some need. Yes, okay.
And I'm helping a congregation that's vacant right now, looking for a pastor, and we're going through interviews. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of good Missouri Synod pastors out there. You just really committed to the gospel or getting the point across. I think you can always have a pastor that has a bad day in the pulpit. You know, this, you're not going to hit 100%.
Well, speak for yourself.
So.
Yeah, I'm about 14%.
Well, haven't you ever run across a sermon that you said, man, I wish I had that one back? And somebody walks out and says, boy, that's just what I needed.
Well, the trouble is, nobody said it about some of my early sermons. I was very doctrinal. I had one sermon I thought was tremendous. The will of God before the fall, during the fall, and after the fall. And the professor gave me a C. I couldn't believe it. I said, that's a good sermon. But it had nothing to do with long gospel. And it wasn't. Here I'm giving a doctrinal statement, which is okay in a Bible class. But in a sermon, you've got maybe parents out there whose daughter just became pregnant out of wedlock, or a son who's on drugs. How does that help them? Doesn't help them at all. That's a... What I consider to be a boring sermon is one that doesn't touch the hearts of the people in the pew.
Yeah, it reaches out to their need, what they're going through. The text somehow has to hit that need that's going on.
Yes. So how would we as Lutherans, if somebody just asked you, do I have to go to church? The answer is?
Wrong question.
Well, no, you got to have an answer.
Oh, well, that is my answer.
Well, my answer is no.
Well, yeah.
You don't have to go to church.
It's why I go to church.
Yes, but if you're asking the question, do I have to? You don't have to do anything in Christianity.
Well, yeah, I'm an American.
Well, an American, a lot of people would think that's things you do have to do. Let's go talk with Marilyn, who's got a question for you. Marilyn, you're on the air.
Well, Pastor, I know that you've gone through this. My dear friends, and Kelly, the mother of Taylor Clark, who was murdered and had been on the news from SIUE, please offer prayers up for his mom and dad, Kelly and Rob, and his little brother, Chase. I'd sure appreciate it. It's just been really, really, really tough. His mother's helped to take care of my son, Rob, that I'm sure perhaps you might remember has a traumatic brain injury.
Uh-huh.
Taylor is the closest.
And he was murdered, you say?
Yes, he was.
Okay, he's a Christian, if I remember. Okay, well, we'll talk about that. Wes, what's the comfort you can give to someone in this situation?
Well, he murdered. It's right back to Psalm 23 in the valley of the shadow of death. You know, we walk every day in death. And you bring up a good point. He was a Christian.
Yes.
He lives in Jesus. He lives forever.
So from our point of view, the comfort we have is he is now in a place where there's no more crying. There's no more sickness, no more death. He's in bliss awaiting judgment day when his body will be restored to his spirit.
You know, on this side, we look at the tragedy that's there. On the other side, he's enjoying heaven. He's with Jesus. He's safe with Jesus. And I think that's the comfort that we take as Christians. And certainly when she says offer up prayers, we offer up prayers for all the survivors that are here and that God would bring them comfort in there. And we include those generally on a Sunday morning in our churches, as we know.
Do you not probably appreciate the best kinds of sermons are funeral sermons?
They're listening.
Yes. You really have everybody's attention. In contrast to a wedding.
Right. Done and out.
Yeah, sometimes people are just more interested in, look at the gowns and all this sort of thing. But there's no doubt that the only comfort that we can have is through that. So would you want to have a little prayer for her?
Oh, of course. Dear Heavenly Father, you know in the midst of life, we see death all around us. And we are unfortunate that she's lost a loved one. And we give grace and especially we give thanks that you have called him to be your own dear child, that he knows that grace and forgiveness of sins in Christ our Lord, and that he celebrates there in heaven with you. Be with Marilyn and her family and all the friends and neighbors and keep them ever in that one true faith that Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. When my son he wasn't murdered, he was killed in a motorcycle accident. I made the comment later on that he would trade nothing to come back to earth because he was now in a place where there was great joy, bliss, and he's waiting for us according to the book of Revelation. Comfort is really the main point of every sermon. So to get people comfortable, you first have to get them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And how do you do that?
Well, it's called law. You know, of course, yes. We're talking law and gospel here today, but law shows us our sins. It shows how we're deep and mired in on all these things.
And that law is different in every text. Like, for example, if you're dealing with a lost sheep, the law is that people think that they made a choice and decided to follow Jesus and jump on his shoulders. When in reality, what's the true message there?
It's how the shepherd, Jesus, comes and finds us and puts us on his shoulders.
Yes.
He does. It's all in how you look at the verbs. The verbs are how it is that Christ comes to us, how Christ takes care of us. And that's one of the main things that, you know, I've heard you say before in the middle of a sermon is to be able to look at them and say, I forgive you. And it's as if Jesus himself is speaking, that they know that forgiveness is found in Jesus.
Yesterday at Emmanuel Olivet, we do a Bible study there every Tuesday at 11 a.m., 9733 Olive Boulevard. And anybody is welcome. We're getting more and more people who are not members of Emmanuel attending. But one of the ladies gave me a bulletin from a funeral for Laura Lena Palm. And on the back of it, it had a hymn I had never really seen. It's Safe in the Arms of Jesus by Francis Crosby, part of the lyrics. And it's called My Course is Run, Praise God, My Course is Run. And she said, you know, during the funeral, as I'm singing this song, it reminded me of what you keep saying in Bible class, And here were some of the words. Upon the cross, the bitter, shameful tree, for me, his blood he spilt. Thus by his death and grace abounding, for me a refuge surely founding, my course is run, my course is run. And that's the theme throughout the hymn, my course is run. What does that mean?
My course in life here is done.
Yes.
And I've lived out my life. But it has nothing to do with my salvation. As we know from Ephesians chapter 2, we are dead in our sins and without hope of ever finding our way. But God, rich in his grace and his mercy, has found us. And in baptism, we are found. You know, in the Word, we are found. Through Holy Communion, we receive the forgiveness of sins and strengthening of faith. So the means of grace, Word, baptism, Lord's Supper, and which kind of brings us full circle back to going to church.
If you have any questions for Wes Reimnitz, 821-0850 in the St. Louis area, toll free, 1-800-730-2727. That's long distance anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. So it's really important to understand that each sermon is to, first of all, put people in an uncomfortable position in regard to their relationship to God because of their sin. But then the comfort of the gospel, and it depends how you do that, depending on what the text is, because there are so many ways in which the law does, mirror our true self.
Yeah, that gospel brings that peace, the peace which passes all understanding. It's as you say, each one is a little bit different, but every one of them is to bring about that we know that we are forgiven in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are given forgiveness.
Yesterday on Issues, Etc., Rod Rosenblatt was speaking. It was actually a tape recording of a thing he had done 2 years ago at the Issues, Etc. conference, which, by the way, there's another one coming up in June, and we encourage you to come if at all possible. But they're only allowing 400 people, so you better register. But he made a point that I thought was really good. He said, what we need to do in a sermon is to make the cross practical. A lot of people don't realize when we say, you know, Jesus died on the cross, what that really means. How does that affect me? How would you go about sharing that?
Well, I laugh when you say make it practical, because I've had them come into my office, you know, when I was in the parish, and they would enumerate the sins of their neighbors and everything, and I'd look at them, I go, yep, he died for that one.
Yeah.
And then after about the fourth or fifth time, they go, I get your point.
Yes.
You know, it's to understand that Christ has died on the cross for those sins that we've committed. Whatever piece of law that we're giving them that day, and whatever avenue we're taking them down. Like last night when I met with the call committee of this congregation, they said, open up with prayer. I talked about that God forgive the sins that we committed this day.
Yeah.
And grant us the forgiveness that is found in Christ our Lord, who's died upon the cross and rose for us.
In this hymn, and to me, these are the gospel words. I'm going to say the first word, you tell me the second word, that finally makes it gospel. The first word is for.
Forgiveness.
Word. For, and then for who?
For me.
Yes, me. For me. That's not really being heard, I think. The more I go around and talk to Lutherans, the more I find how difficult it is for them to make a practical application between the cross. One of the ways you can do it is say, okay, what keeps you from going to heaven is really not sin. I made a comment yesterday, is sin has kind of two bites, either a mosquito bite or what's a real poisonous thing when it stings you?
Oh, the wasp?
A wasp or...
Scorpion.
I said, and it was as though I was saying it for the first time, or the first time they heard this. I said, when a lion eats a human being, That is sin. Because all that sin is disobedience against God's original will.
Well, yeah.
Now, does the lion go to hell? And I had one member who was just complaining that she didn't think animals sinned, you know. And I said, no, no, no. The thing is, there's only two parts of creation that are in trouble with sin. Human beings and angels.
Oh, yeah, you had to follow the angels.
Yes. And guess what? Only one of those groups have salvation.
Hmm.
There is no salvation. First of all, a lion doesn't need to be saved because the sting of sin for him is like a mosquito. And what makes the sting of sin for us terrible? According to 1 Corinthians 15, it's the law, specifically the curse of the law. What's the curse of the law?
It brings about death.
That's right. That's what the cross did. Jesus took that death on him. So I kind of complain when people say, when I'm forgiven, I'm no longer guilty. No, you're still guilty of the crime. It's just that you don't have to pay for it because he paid the whole price. And he paid it for all those who receive the gospel.
And that's why we go to church.
Yes.
We go to church to hear that gospel message, you know, the glorious exchange of our baptism, where
that's good.
Christ takes off our robes of sin, puts them on to himself, and gives to us his robes of righteousness, which is found at the cross.
The glorious exchange you're explaining
yes.
there. And that's how you truly bring people comfort, by really getting down and explaining practically how the cross makes a difference. And it makes a difference differently in almost every pericope.
And in the Lord's Supper.
Oh, yes.
Isn't there a personal seal of forgiveness of sins when they partake of that body and blood of our Lord and Savior?
Because, as Luther explains, you're not just receiving the body and blood, but you're receiving the benefits yes. that go with it. And what are those benefits?
Forgiveness of sins and strengthening of faith.
That's right. So that you don't have to look to your own faith. If you ask the question, I've asked this a number of times, have you ever wondered whether you're going to heaven? And some people put their hand up, and I say, I'll tell you why, is you were looking at your works rather than the works of Christ.
You bet, instead of looking to Jesus.
Yes, and when you look to Jesus, it's totally a different situation.
And so therein lies, it's not about how hard the pews are, or
no.
whether the music's this or that, or the sermon's this or that, it's whether it's showing us Jesus.
Yes, and we do want to make it as comfortable for people.
Oh, sure.
I was with a woman yesterday, and we were they had a meal for the teachers. I guess, what was yesterday, some Mexican?
Cinco de Mayo Day.
Yeah, right. And boy, did they have good food.
Mm.
But I said, well, come on in and eat with us. She said, I'll come in and get the food, but I can't sit in those chairs. They're too uncomfortable for me. You know, they were just fold-up chairs. So she got food, but didn't stay in the room. So there's no doubt churches that put pads down, I don't have a problem with that.
No.
To help people become more comfortable. But that's not why you don't go to church, because you don't have pads. We never had pads on our pews.
Right, and I would agree with you there, but if they're caught up with looking for Jesus in the Word, in the sacraments, that kind of stuff really is going to pale in comparison for them, because they're there to see Jesus.
To see Jesus, and that's, in a sense, they really see him, because what are your words with the absolution? They confess their sins upon this your confession, I by what?
Virtue of my office. As a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ.
I used to think that the pastor was saying, and instead of Jesus Christ. But he was saying,
that was a long time ago.
Well, that was the old hymnal. But in the place of Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't realize that when the pastor does give the absolution, God is just using the pastor's voice to say what Jesus wants to say to them. That's really Jesus speaking.
And that's why we say pastors are under shepherds.
Yes.
Christ is the good shepherd.
They're not the main shepherd. That's for sure. That they're under shepherds. And so this article that you brought, I think it was very good. Do I have to go to church? Well, the answer is no. In order to get to heaven, you don't have to do anything. But once you're saved, why would you not want to go to church to hear the wonderful message? And, of course, we're done.
Oh, it went quick.
Are you preaching this weekend?
No, okay. I'm on my way to see grandchildren
to take care of them.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, you have a safe trip, and we're going to get back to Ruminations Thursday.
I may come down again. This was fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, especially if you think you're getting a free meal at White Castle.
Yeah, it's that free meal.
All right, Tom Baker, Wes Reimnitz, thank you so very much. And we apologize for playing John Lennon's Imagine, but it was still pretty good. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.